Konnichiwa.
Welcome to the Jandals in Japan podcast.
What's that, Catherine? You really want a flat white?
Yes, I really want a flat white. Why do I want that when I'm not supposed to be having dairy? I'm thinking about New Zealand so much. That's why. Because we're about to introduce you an amazing episode, but we'll get into that in a moment. However, it's springtime in Japan.
It is. It's been a bit of a weird spring, though. It's been freezing cold. The whole sakura forecast has been thrown off kilter.
Yes.
We're not seeing anything here yet at this time of recording here.
It was a long, long time to get the sakura to come out. It took a long time. A long, long time.
Are they out?
Well, as we record this, they're not.
What? It's supposed to be finished by now.
No, it's end of March and it's still not really showing big signs. But I think by the time this episode comes out, they will be in bloom. So that's also quite good for people who had planned to come in April.
Yeah, well, we are having an entrance ceremony for one of my children this year. And so here where I live further north, on a good year, you will get the sakura at the time of the entrance ceremony.
Perfect timing.
We are crossing all the fingers and toes for, a little bit more delayed for the entrance ceremony day, then we can have a special photo with some cherry blossoms, which is a bit different to the rest of Japan, where you sort of associate them more with the graduation ceremony held towards the end of March. But anyway.
Because it always used to be that, didn't it? There was April was when the new term start, when people went to the office, the first job, their first working in the company, and it was always office, sakura. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cherry blossoms, and then it sort of slid into March. But you might be lucky this year.
Yes, I think we might be.
Exactly. Well, in this episode coming up, we do talk a little bit about flat whites, or at least coffee combinations and collaborations. And you have to listen to the whole episode to get to that part of it where we talk about that. But today we do welcome Takayuki Ichikawa, and he is the representative director of Canine Natural, which is a premium New Zealand pet food brand that have been in Japan, well, for more than 10 years. They have a shop in Shibuya. You can go there. They also do food tastings for the pet food in different areas we discovered. But it was a really great show because Canine Natural is quite unique in the market amongst Japanese pet food brands that you see out there, because it's all made from fresh New Zealand grass-fed free-range meats, cage-free chicken, and sustainably sourced fish. And so, of course, it's nourishing and delicious for our dogs that are just so populous in Japan. So we had a great time speaking with him. I hope that you get some really good tips out of it. We really had a fun time. Thank you so much, Ichikawa-san, for this.
Yeah, let's hear it from Takayuki. Kia ora, Takayuki. Welcome to the Jandals in Japan podcast. Great to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
So we like to start off with a warm-up question. Mm-hmm. Our question for today is, what's a pet or dog trend that you are seeing around Tokyo right now?
Well, the humanization trend for pet is I have seen a lot recently. People, you know, treat their pets as a valued member of the family. That's, I think, a very important one, which I have not seen in Japan in the past.
So what does that look like that you're seeing, you know, how does that show up around you in Tokyo?
Well, the as you know, that I work for the pet food company, and a lot of Japanese people premiumize their food because they really care about the health of the pets.
Wow.
So that's one of the proof. And also I'm also a dog owner and really love dog. I sleep with my dog every night
The bed.
My dog is actually big, 25 kilograms. It's one of my family.
Yeah, yeah. And what kind of dog do you have?
Golden Doodle. It's a mixed breed between the Golden Retriever and standard poodle.
Gorgeous, I'm sure. We'll have to swap dog photos later. I have a miniature Schnauzer, and he is also a
Oh.
very valued member of our family.
Yes.
Yeah. How about you, Catherine? Any pet trends or dog trends you're seeing around Tokyo?
Well, I think these days it seems that there's many more apartments and apartment buildings that are letting people come in with pets. Before, it seemed that it was no pets, no pets, no on the description of the apartment when they were letting the building or the room out. But now it seems that many more places are pets okay. So I think that shows that kind of trend towards they're a member of our family. So why would we not have them also come and stay with us? I'm noticing that a lot. And people are finding it easier, I think, to find an apartment because they know they can bring their dog or their cat or their other pet. I think, I don't know if snakes are okay, but I think dogs and cats are okay. Jane, you've been in Tokyo a little recently. How about you? Have you seen anything around town that you've
Well,
noticed?
yeah, obviously I live in Fukushima, so the daily life of a pet in Fukushima is quite different to the daily life of a pet in Tokyo, I feel. There's no public transportation, going in little baskets or anything like that. I just put my dog in my car if we're going somewhere together. So I always notice that, sometimes someone will have a bag and there will be a small dog in the bag or a cat or a rabbit or something in there and they're going somewhere together on an outing. And I think that's very sweet that there are more pets being included in daily life. As you said, this humanization, they're a valued member of the family. And I would love to see more pet-friendly cafes and restaurants in Japan, because I've lived in Europe as well, where you would go anywhere. You see pets everywhere. They don't need to be in a special crate on the train. They're just on the train with you. And everyone's very well adjusted, and the dogs are very happy and calm. So yeah, I would love to see more of that in Japan in the near future.
Sure. We know that Iki Cafe, which has been one of our guests in the past, they're a New Zealand cafe in Tokyo. They have a lot of pet friendly,
They
like dog.
do.
Dogs
They
are
do.
okay. You can bring them to
Have
the
you been
restaurant.
there, Iki Cafe?
Have you been there, Takayuki, to Iki?
No, unfortunately,
Yeah,
no. So
you'll
please
have
take
to
your
go.
dog there for a
Yeah.
visit. Yeah.
Okay. Where's
Yeah.
base located in Tokyo?
Kiyosumi Shirakawa, is that where it is?
Ah,
Yeah.
okay.
A little bit
Yeah.
out of town, but yeah, it's
Yeah.
good. Very nice location. Yeah.
If you have a vehicle, you can probably take your 25-kilogram doggy and go there. Well, Takayuki, it was really lovely to meet you at the ANZ CCJ Shinninkai earlier in the year, obviously in January. So happy that we could have the help of Zia at NZTE to bring you on the show today to talk more about Canine Natural, where you're working as a representative director. We're so happy to have you. You've got a really big background in F&B, working for big brand names, Johnson and Johnson, Coca-Cola, Godiva, Nestle, all kinds of brands. And we're just really looking forward to diving into the pet environment in Japan because we haven't had anyone like you before speak on the show. So welcome again.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we've given a little bit of a short summary there about your background, but tell us a bit more in your words about your background and what led you to say yes to Canine Natural to come and work with them.
Well, the first of all, the as I briefly mentioned earlier, the first one is because I'm a dog owner. I did love dogs. That's important to work for the pet food, company. And the second is a more professional about the I thought my work experience and is skewed to affordable premium consumer goods segment like Nespresso, Godiva, and Moët Hennessy Diageo. That would be a good fit with the Canine Natural, because Canine Natural is the established unique position in this market as affordable premium pet food brand.
I know we talked at the very beginning there, the things that we see in Tokyo as a trend, but are there some differences, do you think, between the way that pets are owned in, say, New Zealand compared to Japan? Is there something different there? Have you heard?
My colleagues in New Zealand told me that the big difference is the size of the breeds.
Oh,
yes, true.
You know, actually, the top three the breeds in Japan is toy poodle, chihuahua, and
Miniature Schnauzer. No,
Shiba
Shiba.
Inu,
Oh, Shiba, of
Shiba.
course. Shiba, yes, very
Shiba.
popular. Yeah.
Yeah.
Only
Okay.
these three actually breeds represent 40% of the all breeds in Japan.
Wow.
That's amazing. So
It
skewed
is.
to smaller breeds.
Wow. My neighbor has two Spitz. I see them going out for walks. And there's also a neighbor who has a Saint Bernard, which is huge. And obviously captures the neighborhood. Everyone sort of looks at this dog all the time. But yeah, that's very interesting. The size of the breeds, that's the difference. I think New Zealand, they probably have a lot of larger golden retrievers, labs, Dalmatians, all kinds of different breeds, but probably bigger ones. Yeah.
Definitely. I also wanted to have a black Labrador when I was deciding what kind of dog to get. And my husband said, "This is Japan. No, too big. Everything's big. Food is big. Poop is big." Yes, no. So we settled on a miniature schnauzer instead. And it is a good size, I have to say.
Yeah, it's the size for the
Interesting.
house and the
Yes, he
area, right?
fits
And
in
I
our
think,
house and yeah.
New Zealand has more open spaces, perhaps, and so
Yeah,
it's easier.
smaller living space
Yeah.
in Japan, yes.
So what's it like for pet ownership in Japan? How many households have pets? I've heard it's more than children these days, but is that true? What's the situation? Give us some
No.
maybe statistics. Tell us what you think.
Well, in Japan, if I remember correctly, 7-8 million for dog and also cat. And the population of the dog kept at the home in Japan is a downward trend.
Downward.
Yeah. And the while the cat is a stable.
Ah, okay. That's interesting. I would have thought that the trend for dog ownership at home would be increasing.
Because I think the because the shifts in pet owner demographics, the more aging population actually increasing number of dairy income and single person households. So the you know, to have a dog at your home is the you need it requires greater time and effort in terms of the care, such as the need for daily walks, and with cats, therefore, you know, more suitable by many Japanese owners due to their busy lifestyles.
That is a thing, right? I mean, if you've got a family, your family member can often look after the pet, take it for walks, for example, if it's a dog. But if you are by yourself, it is harder to have that. There are people who do the walking, so it's possible, but that's a really
Daycare,
good
yeah.
point that you bring up. Yeah. And you talked a little bit at the beginning there about dogs, pets being part of the family and humanization. So I think that leads to the things that we give to the pet to eat, right? To dogs to eat. So their pet food is obviously full of more, maybe nutrition. Tell us a bit more about canine, because we hear it's made of lovely New Zealand natural ingredients. So I think it would be good to know a bit more about the product that you're selling.
First of all, K9 is, I would say, it's a very unique brand. Yeah, we actually entered this market in 2010, 14 years ago. And at that time, the no freeze-dried product is available. And the people actually were satisfied with the kind of mainstream dry food, dry pet food. But ours are different, as I mentioned. First, the production method is freeze-dry, which is new to this market. And also, our products has a higher protein, high meat. 90% of the ingredients are from meat, fish,
Wow.
or the ram, chicken, whatever. Basically, 90 more than 90% all of our products. That is completely different from the mainstream dry food product.
Which is how, tell us about the protein content of those ones, because I feel it's very low, right?
Yeah.
Do you know the percentage of a mainstream product protein?
I would say 40
Yeah. Less than
on average.
half, right? Yeah.
Yeah, less than half. So very unique position. And also the our ingredients, all of them are sourced from New Zealand. You know, it's very well known as a advanced agriculture country. No BSA, whatever, how do you call it?
Ah, mad cow disease, is
Yeah,
it?
that kind of thing,
So
yes.
yeah, that's it.
Never happened in New Zealand. So very safety, and the management of the animals, is very strict. So basically, canine was kind of new for the most of the Japanese pet owners. Wow, this is different.
Yeah, so tell us about that entering into the Japan market. You weren't around that 14 years ago in 2010, but do you know what inspired K9 to think we're going to go into Japanese market? What led them to come here? Was it seen as quite different compared to the dry food, pet food market?
Obviously, I was not here 14 years ago. So, but yeah, please let me try to answer your question. The first of all, the market size of the pet food market in Japan is reasonably big, I would say. It's estimated at, if I remember correctly, $4,000 million in total. And thanks to the humanization and the premiumization trend for pet, we have seen so far, market is expected to grow steadily in value with 2% CAGR. So with our unique freeze-dried products, we believe that we can capture that opportunity. That's
Wow.
why
Yeah, amazing.
I think
Yeah.
the reason to enter Japan market.
And so what are some of the strategies that they've used so far to be successful in Japan?
Actually, unlike the most of the mainstream or big, international brands, we actually have not spent so much money on typical advertising and price promotions for marketing of our brand and products. Actually, we have not done so much price promotion, price discount. And basically, our main focus has been always to build our brand ambassadors in user level, trade level, and vets. I believe that's the key success factor so far, which is completely different from what most of the international brands have taken.
What's a brand ambassador then for your product? Is that a person of some sort or a dog
No,
of some
it's
sort?
yeah, can my dog be a brand ambassador?
No, I call the ambassador, but basically it's our fans in our community. We tried to build a kind of fan community, and they drive word of mouth to the prospect pet owners. Hey, I tried this product and this is really good. That kind of natural social diffusion, so we try to drive. That's our strategy.
Wow, because you have a shop, don't you, in Jingumai, I think in
Yes.
Shibuya.
Yeah, we
Do
have.
people come to that shop, or is that really just a location for you and then you're building the community outside of the shop?
Yeah, shop is just one shop in the central Tokyo, the Jingumae. It's which does not impact in scale, but it's a kind of center of the the community, of course. But yeah, every weekend our sales guys visit the retailers nationwide and organize a kind of sampling trial event there. So from Hokkaido to Kyushu. Every weekend. So also we will participate in the coming InterPets event in Tokyo, which will be held from the April 4th to 7th. So very big events for pet owners. And last year, that event welcomed more than 60,000 pet owners in 4 days. So
Ooh. Wow.
taking that kind of opportunity, we try to communicate what K9 Natural is different from the other, brands.
Yeah, I love that you are building a community. It just makes such a difference. And, you know, even through our podcast here, we have created what we call the Jandals community. And you are now one of those Jandals because you're on this show.
Yeah.
But it just expands out of there. And people refer to others about guests who have been on the show and their products. And mm-hmm. we hope that happens for you too. But it wasn't our main aim, but it just happened. And maybe with K9 Natural, as people bought it, they talked about it to other people. And yes. word of mouth is so powerful in Japan, isn't it?
Yes. I've never seen this level of the water, the quality of the word of mouth in my career in the past. So it's amazing.
That's really interesting. I wonder if that could work for other products, or it's something special about your product because it is freeze-dried, it's different, it's full of nutrition, mm-hmm. 90% meat, right, protein, and yep. maybe that's just the difference, the differentiator that makes it a great place for community.
Yes.
To do the word of mouth. Amazing. Yep.
So can you share any interesting or funny incidents you've experienced during establishing your business in Japan?
Well, it's still 1 year since I joined this company.
Wow. Yeah.
So not so memorable incident so far.
So far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good. Yes.
I'm wondering, are you noticing anything about working with a New Zealand company? So you've mm-hmm. worked with many international brands, you mm-hmm. said before. Is there something you've noticed about your coworkers in New Zealand? And maybe it's a challenge or interesting thing that you noticed about working with them? Because I hear a lot from Japanese people, they want to know how to work with New Zealanders better, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? Or New Zealand people want to know how to work with Japanese people better. Yeah.
Well, I think not only for New Zealand, the company, but it's the same for the all of the international companies. In Japan, it's so unique. I mean, small things matter. You know, in this market, to justify, if you really want to justify the premium price and high quality, small things matter. For example, if our product package is damaged very little bit, but in Japan, they are not acceptable. So with K9 Natural in New Zealand, we have been making the best effort with the team in New Zealand to meet the high quality standard among the Japanese customers. So that's the example, but the point is small things matter in this mm-hmm. market.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so, for example, packaging in New Zealand, we are often more worried about environmental damage mm-hmm. or maybe easy to dispose of. Mm-hmm. But in Japan, you know, you need to focus on bringing the perfect package to your customer.
Yeah, package
first.
Presentation, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Did you have important. To make those packages different for the Japan market then compared to, say, how they are produced in New Zealand? Or is it basically the same package, but you just got to make sure it's perfect quality when it leaves New Zealand and arrives in Japan?
We use the same packaging, but right. Quality control, we push the New Zealand team in New Zealand to right. improve.
What else would you say to others? Maybe New Zealanders who are coming into Japan, you mentioned that the small things matter. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else, other advice you would give to other New Zealand businesses who want to enter the Japanese market?
Well, there are several things. Before making a decision to enter this market, first of all, I would suggest assessing if your business is differentiating enough to attract the Japanese customers who are really matured already and satisfied with existing products and services offered by the existing players in Japan. That's, I think, very important. Even if you are a giant, let's say in US or the Europe market, Japan is different. So a lot of the smart local players are here. So if your business or services are differentiating enough, yes, it's easy to enter. That's point number one. And maybe point number two would be the partnership. If you really identify the right partners in Japan for your business model. For example, the Wii and the K9 Natural Japan doesn't have a direct relationship with the well-known top famous retailers. We don't have. We have, of course, more deeper relationship with other, actually the retailers or the partners who are really supportive and who knows our business model very well. That's very important, I think. So point number two would be identify right partners and work with them. And third point is, as I briefly mentioned, this market is so matured. So if you don't have the long-term commitment, it's very difficult. It's not the easy to win market, quick win market. So I think it requires kind of midterm, long-term commitment in this market.
Wow,
You
great
heard it
points,
here.
right? Yeah, be a smart local player. Honestly, that's so true. And find the right partners here. And it's a long-term game, right? It's a matured market. I like that you pulled that out because it certainly is. And we've had other speakers and guests talk about be here for the long term. Yeah. But your connection between, the small things matter links to that second one. Right, it's not only big retailers or big, it's coming smaller.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? So you're dealing more with a smaller retailer and connecting with them, and they are your fans as well, right? They want to
Yes.
sell your product.
Yes. Our products are very premium, categorized in the premium category. And actually, we are still niche compared to the mainstream market. So we don't need to to win in that the standard battlefield. We
Right.
need to define our
You
battlefield.
your battlefield, yeah.
Yes.
Create your own pie, yeah.
How do you do that? And how do you build that trust and the relationships with those smaller people in the battlefield, right? How are you doing that? What strategies work really well from your opinion?
Well, again, the first step is to identify who should be the right partner for our business. And we identify these specialty stores, the vets, and the wholesalers who are specialized in premium segment. And we tried to build a relationship. As I briefly mentioned, we send our people for their sampling events on the weekend. We, go out for market with the sales force from the wholesalers, and we visit the vet and organize a kind of a seminar, to let them understand deeper about our brand and the product. That kind of initiatives to build a relationship with the ideal and the right partner is very important.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine your tasting events because it's the dogs who are tasting it, not the humans,
Yes.
right? So do you have them at the veterinarian clinic, for example, or at the specialty shops on the weekends? You have people handing out
Yeah, in
some.
most of the cases, we do the sampling event at the dog shows on the weekend or the key detailers. Yes, key detailers in Tokyo and actually nationwide.
It must be fascinating, though, to watch the dogs go for the food and
Yes.
be really enjoying it, and the dog owner's reaction to that maybe as well. Must be interesting.
Yes. So we are confident when we feed our product to the dog as a trial, their reaction would be amazing. The
Unlike,
pet
say,
owner,
human
yeah.
beings, when we taste food, you don't know whether they're going to like it or not, but
Yeah.
you're confident. They will, the dogs. Wow.
Dogs don't lie, do they? Or say "oishii" when it's not,
Yeah.
right?
How do you know if a dog likes the food? Does it
Yeah,
have
what
the
does that look like?
reaction? Is it a reaction of the tail wagging or they
But
eat the whole
sometimes,
lot? How do you know if they like it?
if you feed the not good the food to the dog, they don't eat. The very simple reaction from them. But in most of the case, when we feed our products to dogs, dogs are trying to asking, looks asking more.
Where's my food?
Yeah.
Give me more.
Yeah, that's a very simple reaction. The pet owners can recognize, oh, normally this dog, this guy, and this my dog doesn't eat the food, provided by someone, but wow.
So that's really interesting. I wonder if you've got out of the things that you've told us already, that small things matter and the three tips you gave us already, is there one thing that you think is the most important for everybody to be taking into account? Like for New Zealanders, for example, coming into Japan, is there one thing that you would say is the most important thing to be aware about for a successful strategy?
The biggest one is differentiating or not. That's
Right.
I think very important for especially entering the matured market like Japan.
Yeah, I think especially New Zealanders coming here would be very shocked to see exactly how many pet food brands there are here in Japan. There's so many. We only have a few in New Zealand in comparison, I think. Yeah. Any opportunities you are seeing or untapped markets or new products that could be brought to Japan? Any ideas you want to share? And you said maybe you've got some secret ideas you don't want to share, but
You may in the pet food market
it could be pet
or
food or it could be in general. Any trends that you see in Japan?
well the 2 points in the pet food market the I think in cat pet food I have not seen the significant premiumization trend in the cat food market, so the we are trying to tap capture that opportunity in the future. That's one thing. And outside the pet food market, I would say is the awareness toward the New Zealand is still low. We know the name of New Zealand, location of the country, but we actually don't know so much. Japanese don't know so much about the
The details, right?
Details, how the New Zealand product, the brand looks like, and the how's the life in New Zealand. We can imagine, but we don't know so much about the daily life in New Zealand. When I visit the New Zealand, amazing nature, that kind of the promotions of New Zealand, nature and the food there, rum, beautiful rum, the chicken. I think there is a room to promote the food and nature in New Zealand, in Japan market.
Since I think New Zealand people feel like we talk about New Zealand all the time, so surely everybody knows now. Surely we've talked enough, but you've told us that actually, no,
Not
there's
enough, yeah, not
more. We
enough.
can do
And also
more.
the interestingly, when I visited New Zealand, flat white. I knew the name because I worked for Nespresso. My colleagues from Australia or New Zealand always said that the flat white every time.
Yes, we like a
But I
flat
didn't
white,
know
don't
what
we?
was it, what
Yeah.
it was. But
Yeah.
it was the first time to try flat white in New Zealand. Amazing. That's different from the cafe latte or cappuccino. It's different drink. Coffee drink.
Maybe at your dog show tasting events, you could have someone come
Right,
along and
white.
serve flat whites and have a
Yeah.
collaboration of coffee. Flat whites times
With
dog
Iki.
food.
Yeah.
Iki,
Yeah.
have a collaboration. We just said it there. We've had an amazing time today. Thank you so much for, you are now a successful jandal in Japan. We really appreciate you pushing and loving and being very devoted to the pet food market for dogs in Japan. And thank you very much for being devoted and doing that and sharing your story with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Run out and buy some canine dog food right now.
I think you should be. I don't know what you're having now in your cabinet there for your little dog, but I wonder. Yeah, why
That's
don't
why I
you undo
asked
it?
about the general dog food protein percentage because I knew it was pretty low. But yeah,
Wow.
I imagined it's under
That just makes
50%.
so much sense, doesn't it? Whatever you put into your human body reflects on the outside. So won't it also be the same for our dear pets, for dogs too? It must affect the shine on the coat, everything, eyesight, the way they walk, all kinds of things. Yeah.
Yep, I'm sure it does. Yeah, well, that's
Wow.
fantastic. We have access to such a high quality dog food now in Japan for all those dog owners and hopefully in the future cat owners, right?
Yeah, go premium. Sounds like that's the thing to do. It was amazing, that statistic on the high percentage of protein. I was taken away by that. I also loved how they've really gone purposefully into building a community and have that fan base who share stories. That's just so cool. That's what you'd really want for every brand to be able to have, is not have to focus on the marketing and advertising, but just build it through word of mouth. Brilliant.
Yeah, not aiming for those big retailers, right? Just saying, no, we're going to go specialized. And yeah, people who care about their dogs tend to have trusted places where they will get their dog either groomed or buy dog clothes for them. That's another thing that happens in
Oh, yeah,
Japan,
that's
right?
true.
Dressing the dog up. There's a lot of those stores around, so that's a great market to enter instead of trying to be found on the shelf in the. Have you ever been to Don Quixote to the pet food section?
I haven't to
Just
there, but I
crazy.
have been to some of those, what is it called, the home center places, and they have
Similar, yeah.
aisles of dog
Yeah,
food and
aisles and
cat food
aisles
and
of
pet
stuff.
food. Wow. Yeah. And didn't you like his three tips for us?
Very well
Brilliant.
prepared. Thank you so much.
Loved that he came very prepared. Thought about it, obviously, but being smart as a local player, I thought was pretty sort of awesome. And also finding those right partners in market and working, obviously, with places like NZTE or people who are here who have the knowledge to be able to find the partner for you or help you go to the place where you would find that person or that organization is really important. And just again, that staying here long term, it's so not a quick win market. It's definitely something that's more deep rooted. Yeah.
Yep. Even for dog food. Since we're hearing it across all the markets, aren't we?
I'd love to go to one of the dog shows and see the dogs going for the food and just see that whole atmosphere. It must be so much fun, especially for Takayuki, who's just such a dog lover. He must love that kind of experience too,
It's been
going
very
out and
fun.
doing that. Must make a fun job for him. Wow, that was excellent.
Yes, thank you, Takayuki. And yeah, I hope to see much more canine dog food being consumed here in Japan. We'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you check out our guests' links in the show notes.
This podcast is brought to you today by Catherine O'Connell Law and Pod Launch with Jane. If you have a great story you think should be on the show, come and find us on LinkedIn or Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. See you next time.
Mata ne.